If you've been saved any amount of time, you're probably going to need this. I want to help you. And if it hasn't happened to you, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So I want to help you prepare before you get there, okay? And I wish somebody had taught me this in my earlier Christian life. And so I want to help you, okay? I'm not here to convict you or anything like that. I'm here to help you tonight, okay? Matthew chapter 5, if you will. Look at verse 11 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Amen. Jesus is talking, and he's telling them how to be blessed. And he says an unusual thing here. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Now, you might as well get used to it. If you've been saved long, if you try to live right, you don't hear that much. If you're trying to live right, you're trying to do right for the Lord, somewhere, sometime, on the job, down at the schoolhouse, maybe even at your own house, you're going to be persecuted. Whether it's by misunderstanding, they don't understand us. They're lost. They don't understand our motives. They don't understand what we do or why we do it. And usually they're convicted by what we do, so therefore they naturally strike back. In an attempt to do right, sooner or later you will be attacked. Now, it may be a misunderstanding. It may be jealousy. It may be envy. It may be all kinds of things. It may be from lost people. It may be from the brethren. It may be from your own family or friends. But sooner or later, you write it down, you will be attacked. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. Now, I've been at this a long time. And when I was first saved, I didn't know this. And when people would attack me, it hurt. It hurt real bad. Because all you're trying to do is right. Trying to do something for the Lord. And of course, they're not doing anything. Or if they are doing anything, they're doing it halfway. Their heart's not in it. And so they look at you and they think you're trying to steal their spotlight. Or you're trying to rob them of their fame. Or you're trying to take their place. Or you're trying to be a holier than thou. Or something, they take it personally. And when you're just trying to do what you thought you'll do, and sometimes we deserve criticism. Sometimes we deserve a little bit of criticism. Sometimes we deserve a little judgment. But it ought to be in the process of trying to do right, yes. Not for doing nothing. Amen? And so Jesus said, you're blessed. You're blessed. If that happens to you, you ought to say, praise God, I'm blessed. I was out knocking on doors one day, and it was one of those glass doors. It was in the summertime, over in the evening, about dark, and I knocked on the door. And this woman come walking to the door like this, and she, you know, had the cut out sleeves and the tattoos, and she walked up there, and I told her who I was, and I went to hand her a tract, and she slammed the door on me. At first, I thought the old flesh said, you'll take that personal, but the Spirit said, blessed are you. Amen. Blessed are you. And so I said, thank you. And walked off. Now, of course, she had misunderstood everything I wanted. I wanted her to go to heaven. I wanted her to be saved. But what she saw was judgment. She saw somebody that would be criticizing her lifestyle. Her choices. But I wasn't there to do that. I was just there to invite her to church and share the gospel in a little tract with her. That's all I wanted to do. So people will misunderstand us in our process of trying to live for God. Now, so I want to tell you what to do if that happens to you, okay? Number one, look at chapter 5 and look at verse 11 again. He said it will happen and it's going to happen. And so what you need to do is remember Jesus said it would happen. This is not about you. It's about Him. Jesus said it would happen. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be falsely judged. You're going to be talked about. You're going to be criticized. You're going to be gossiped about. And sometimes you'll be just be attacked, period. But remember, Jesus said it was going to happen. See, if you don't let it take you by surprise, it's a lot easier to take it. Amen. Now, I've been shocked before people attack me and I say, whoa, where'd that come from? And then I think, Jesus said this was going to happen, you know. And so, number one, remember, Jesus said it was going to happen. Number two, Ephesians 4:2. Turn over there to Ephesians 4:2. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. I was preaching this morning. I was quoting scripture and stuff. I saw some faces that were, whoa, I can't believe that's in the Bible. Ephesians 2. This is what you do when you're attacked. Well, number one, he tells you to walk worthy. Do what you're supposed to do. Do it right. But number two, he says this, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. You got to forbear people sometimes. You got to just forbear people. You got to put up with people sometimes. You do it in your family. Everybody's got that somebody in their family at Christmas that they don't want to sit beside. Everybody. We're on tape. Everybody's got that guy at work they don't want to eat lunch with. Everybody's got somebody that they love that they really don't like. And you just have to forbear them. Why? Because they're right and they're doing. No, but because you love them. And sometimes we don't be surprised. We know it's not them, it's the devil. It's the devil. He inspired that. And those people used to love us, and somewhere down the line we hope they'll love us again. But we have to endeavor to keep the peace. We got to endeavor to keep the unity, because they're certainly not going to do it. And I've seen churches get destroyed over this. Now, look, don't be surprised, and here's something else you do. Speak as little in defense as possible. If all you do is defend yourself, people will automatically think you're guilty. You say whatever you want to about Trump. I don't hardly ever hear him defending himself. He just keeps doing his job. You keep doing your job. Don't waste your time defending yourself. Somebody's going to attack you. That's going to happen. You don't need to defend yourself. And by the way, let me tell you something else. The people that are doing the attacking, everybody knows what they are. You're not the first one they did this to. Everybody knows what kind of person that is, what kind you are. So don't try to defend yourself. Don't get the victim attitude. Well, poor little old me, I might as well quit going to church. I might as well quit reading the Bible. Ain't nobody going to listen to me anymore. No, you're going to do what God called you to do. Ignore them. Don't defend yourself. And go on. Say very little about yourself. Because, see, once you start defending yourself all the time, then you look guilty. Amen. And they come up to you and say, you know what so-and-so said about you? And say, no, I'd rather not know. I don't need to hear that. I don't care what they said. Maybe they were wrong. Maybe they were backslid. But I don't need to know what they said. That's gossiping, okay? I'm not going to listen to that. And, well, what you want me to tell them? Nothing. That's the worst thing you can tell a gossip. Yeah. Nothing. Because anyway you tell it, they're going to change it. They'll make it worse. By the time that snowball gets from top of that hill to the bottom of that hill with the gossips, it'll be big as a house. My goodness. I could give some examples, but I better go on. Amen. Did you know you don't, you're not the victim, by the way, you're the victor. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4, the second part of that verse says that. I have the victory. I cannot lose. I'm not a loser. There's no way you can make me a loser. I can't even make myself a loser. It's unto him that's able to keep me. And like Peter said, I believe it. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which he's committed. He'll do it. I can't lose. I'm not a victim. You can't stop me by criticizing me or attacking me. I'll just go on and ignore you. And that's the best way to treat somebody like that. It'll be like heaping coals of fire on their head, man. Number three. Proverbs 4:23. I said, number one, Jesus said it. Don't be surprised. I said, number two, speak as little in defense as you have to. Now, if they're talking about your wife or your youngs, that's something else. But speak as little on your own behalf as you have to. Let your works show your faith. Yes. And by the way, I forgot to say this. You'll outlive them. If your reputation, you keep on doing what you're supposed to do, your reputation will outlive them. Nobody's going to listen to them after a while, but they'll keep on watching you, see. Look at Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now what's he saying? You take care of the heart of your person, not the physical heart, you'll do that too. But the innermost being, you take care of that. You're diligent. You be careful how you treat that innermost being, because out of there is love and life and goodness and evil, and all those things come out of the heart. Jesus said, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And James said, salt water and fresh can't come out of the same fountain. So listen, while that salty water is pouring out of their fountain, you ought to keep your fountain fresh. Amen. By the way, we know something about all people that attack us. We know bad things about them, but we don't tell it. We don't have to tell it. Because if you start that getting the salty water out of this well like it's coming out of their well, then everybody's going to look at both of you as the same. Guard your heart. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in it. Get in there and read it. Read Psalm 51. Read your Bible. Read it, read it, read it, and then read it some more. Stay in the book. That's the way to keep your heart clean. Yes, stay in the book. And look, you won't get heart trouble. Heart trouble is something that makes your body weak and malfunctioning. Spiritual heart trouble will make your spirit weak and malfunction. Don't let hate get in there. Hate has destroyed more people than cancer. Hate will eat you up. It'll eat you alive. Don't you let hate. Now, you can get angry and sin not. You don't have to hate people. I get mad at people when they criticize me. Yeah, I get mad at them, but I don't let it rot in me, and I don't let it contaminate the inner me. And then, after I get mad, I get over it, and I say, Lord, forgive me. Help me not to hate them like they hate me. Because, see, hate is not produced by the Spirit of God. And if he lives in me and hate's coming out, it ain't him. It's all me. Yeah. Guard your heart. I've known some people that so, to this day, are so bitter about something that happened 40 years ago. I told y'all that story about that man that wouldn't let me pray with him when I went into his house that time. You know what he was so upset about? Duke Power had laid him off. Yeah. And it made him mad. And he was so upset he never found a good job after that. I don't think he tried. And all he ever talked about was Duke Power. Crooked people at Duke Power. Things down at Duke Power. And this and that. Look, If your job bothers you that much, you ought to quit before they fire you. Go ahead and quit. I told Rudy today, I said, I worked a job 6 years, hated just about every day of it. And sometimes, listen, sometimes it's harder to leave than it is to stay. But if it's going to make you bitter, you need to get out of there. And same way with relationships. If those people make you bitter, don't you get hate. You stay away from them. Avoid them. That's what the Bible says to do. Mark them which cause divisions among you. Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
You look like you're looking at one of Holroyd's cows looks at one of those gates when he closes it. All of you have been attacked. If you haven't, you will be. Yeah, every one of us in this room has ever tried to do anything for God, live for God. We have our critics. We have people that will stretch the truth. Amen. We have people that outright lie about you. Yeah, they will. But you know what? You don't let that make you hate. I don't hate those people. I feel sorry for them. Do they not have some a life to where they can spend it doing something for God that they don't have time to look at the rest of us and judge us and criticize us? That's pitiful. And I've known people in churches, I've had them for church members, that their whole life revolves around criticizing and condemning and finding fault in other Christians. They don't ever see that telephone pole in their eye. Amen? Now, if you've never been attacked, you will be. You just keep on trying to do right, you'll be attacked. And by the way, they're not past lying on you. They're not past exaggerating the truth. It'll happen. So what do you do? Well, number one, don't be surprised. Jesus said it was going to happen. Number two, speak little in your defense. Don't become the victim. Let God defend you. Let your works defend you. Somebody come to me one day and they said, you know, preacher so-and-so said such about you. I said, by their works you shall know them. I said, what's he doing? He said, well, I don't know. He does anything. I said, well, I'm going on visitation soul win this afternoon. You want to go with me? By their works you'll know them, see. And usually a critic, somebody that would attack you for trying to do something for God, that's because they're doing nothing at all. Is this thing on? Hello. You ain't never been attacked? Sure you have. Sure you have. You say, well, I know what to do now. Well, let's help the ones that don't know what to do. There's some young people. There's some older people that's just finally decided to get in the will of God, and now they're being attacked or they're about to be attacked.
Yes.
And we need to help them. Now, guard your heart. Stay in the Word. I'll tell you what to do. Just keep serving others.
Amen.
What's that song he used to, something about a guy that thought, anyway, something about his feet and this old man with no legs or something. There's always somebody worse off than you are.
Yeah.
Well, they talking about me, preacher. I don't want to do that. Oh, why don't you go to work and ignore what they're saying? I used to work a job. I was criticized. My own foreman told the boys there when I first went there. He said, they knew I was a young preacher. He said, we don't need any preachers down here. We don't need any Sunday school teachers working here. And I'm going to get rid of it. And he tried his best. He was on me every day, all day long. The slightest little thing, he was on me. But 6 years later, when I left, well, 5 years later, when he did a review on me, he wrote on there, Ron Roddy comes to work. He said, that's your whole review. He said, I can't put that on anybody else's review because they don't come to work. They come to loaf around, stand around the dock and talk and tell jokes. And when you come in, you hit the clock, you go to work, and you work till you hit the clock to go out. You don't hang around with nobody. You don't backbite and talk and gossip. You go to work, you do your job, and you go home. Wake up. I'm talking to you, Billy. Wake up. This lady sat up here today with her medicine. She said, preacher, I'm sorry I fell asleep on you. I said, "You're highly medicated." She said, "I am." And I saw her pills in her bag. She's medicated. Y'all ain't. Wake up. Look here. Keep serving other people. Yeah, you can always find somebody's got worse than you do. You're supposed to have compassion on people. Jude says making a difference. If you'll start loving people and helping other people, you won't have time to listen to the critics that attack you. And by your works, those that they are telling about you know the difference between you and the one that's talking. Then not just keep your heart, not just guard your heart, but then search your heart. Lord, am I guilty? Lord, what they're talking about, is it true, Lord? Lord, do they have a right to say that, Lord? Search your heart. And then if you do, you know what you can always do? If you find anything wrong, you can always say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. That ain't me. That's the old me. Lord, help me. I want to be better to where people won't be able to say that about that area about me." If you're guilty. Of course, most of the time you're not guilty. You're just being attacked. But if you argue, search your heart, confess your sins, get up and go on. And then you run into them one day and say, "Yeah, I remember what you did." Say, "Yeah, I remember too. But you know what? I asked, Lord, forgive me. I got it right. What about you?" Boy, you're awful quiet tonight. Y'all ain't the one attacking, are you? I better flip it over and preach what to do when you're attacking people. You know, my heart, since I got saved, that's the most tender organ I got. Yes. Now, I was in a car wreck when I was 14. We flipped the car over in the ditch. I almost got killed out in the middle of Kershaw County. It's a miracle I'm here. I had a bunch of stitches right across here. My head was busted. I bled and bled and bled. I was a teenager. They put me in the hospital a couple of days. And for years, my younger brother, when we were getting fights, we were getting fist fights. We really did. And he knew if he just hit me in that spot right there, I'd see stars and pass out. And he aimed for that spot every time. I'm serious. I had a tender spot there for years. Still, I can still tell a little bit. I know some of y'all saying, "That's what's wrong with you." I see. But they didn't take nothing out, nothing fell out, okay? But I can still feel some of that. But you know, since I've been saved, that's the tenderest thing I got right there. Yes. And we have tender feelings. I do. Yes. I don't like it when people criticize me. It hurts my feelings. Doesn't it, George?
Yes.
I don't like it when people lie on me. It hurts my feelings. Doesn't it, George?
Yes.
I mean, and that's the way it ought to be.
Yes.
Guard your heart. But you search that heart. And guess what? The Holy Spirit will reveal to your heart while you're searching your heart whether or not you're guilty. And then you get it right and you can get up and go on. And let them talk. I'm serious. I knocked on the door one day and this older lady, and I introduced myself. She said, "I heard about you. You're a sorry preacher." And I started crying. I said, "Ma'am, you know what? You're right. But I don't want to be. I want to be a better preacher. Would you pray for me?" And she shut the door and went back down. You better keep your heart tender.
Yes.
This old world and people and the devil will harden your heart. And once you get a hardened heart, you can't do nothing for God. You won't see lost people anymore. You won't see hurting people anymore. You won't see anything to do anymore except for yourself. You better guard your heart. You better search your heart. And while you're doing that, you just better keep on helping other people. You know, some people they do deserve what they get. They're reaping what they sow. But that's not a reason for me to mistreat them. Or to love them anyway. And instead of talking bad about them, or try to encourage them a little bit. Or to say, you know, you don't have to be in this condition. The Lord can help you. I'll help you get to Him. I mean, we got to judge right and wrong. But we don't have to beat everybody up and talk bad about them. Well, did you see what she wore to church? Well, why don't you go get her something else? Is it still working? Did you see the way her youngins acted? Well, did you try to help her with her youngins? If you had her youngins, you'd need two or three people to help you too. We've had them in here, haven't we, Gargi? We thought Rosemary's baby was in here the other week. Old devil. But you know, they people need help. They don't need beating up and down. They need lifting up. And let's just be honest, there are times in our Christian life when somebody needs to say something to us. We're not above it. We're not above criticism. My wife corrects me all the time. I'm glad I got her. What are you shaking your head about? Same with your house. I'm glad I'm not married to some old floozy that don't care. Amen. Say amen, fellas. Amen. Floozy. That's in the Bible somewhere. It's spelled Jezebel. Amen. We'll search our heart. Look, I don't want to criticize anybody. I'm not much myself. I am what I am by the grace of God. You better like it, because I'd be a lot worse without Him. Amen. What are you laughing about, Billy? I knew you when you was a girl. Boy, come over to my house the night he got saved. It must have been about 10, 11 o'clock. I didn't know who was at my door. I was still a young preacher myself. Knocked on the door, and first I thought the woman had this long, curly hair. He said, I just want to tell you, I got saved. You know how he talks. Preacher Ron. I said, what? He said, I just want to tell you, I got saved. I said, amen. But he had a tear in his eye when he said it. Listen, we all need help sometimes. But you ought not attack people. Don't attack people like I just did, Billy. Search your heart. Keep a tender heart. Keep serving other people. You know the people that give the most money to charity are poor people. You know the Salvation buckets, army buckets, are filled up by poor people. I get convicted every time I go by one. And I went by one during Christmas, and you know, nobody carries cash anymore. I pulled out my debit card. I said, if you got one of them machines, I'll give you some money. He said, I've been telling them they need to get one of those. But hey, look, it's just by the grace of God we are what we are. And we'll be serving other people. And if somebody criticizes me while I'm doing that, well, let them do it. Let them do it. And then you know what else we'll do? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Well, let's go ahead and read 20 while you're there. Verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For what glory is it if, what kind of glory you get if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But If, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Now, you know what we do? We take criticism, we take attacks patiently. Now, he's saying, well, what's the big deal if you're whipped for doing wrong? You got nothing to glory about. What kind of glory is in that?
Right.
He said, but now, if you're buffeted or whipped for doing right, now you got something to glory in.
Yeah.
And you ought to take it patiently. And say, look, I don't care what they say, that if you don't weary in well-doing, in due season, you will reap if you faint not. You keep on doing. And look, one day will come you can glory in what you did. Now you can't live like the devil and get whipped by God and glory in that. And I've known Baptists do that. They'll stand up and they'll give a testimony, you know, and they'll give this big long testimony how they got, they're out of the will of God and God's been whipping them for this, you know, and he's whipping them that way. And they just weep and cry, but nothing ever changes. And they want us to glory in that. I'm not glorying in that. But if you stand up and say, listen, for 30 years I served God, and I've been criticized, and I've been attacked and made fun of, but I ain't never give up, and he ain't never give up on me, and I'm going to keep on serving him long as I got breath. Like old Billy Sunday said, he said, I hate the devil, I hate the devil, I hate the devil. He said, I'm going to hit him long as I got a fist. And I'm going to hit him long as I got a fist. And when my fist wears out, I'm going to hit him long as I got a foot. I'll kick him long as I got a foot. And when my feet wear out, I'll gum that booger to death. Let me tell you something. You don't, look, we don't glory in our failures. Some people do. But when you do right, and you're assaulted because you did right, you wait patiently, and it's acceptable with God.
Amen.
And you can look up to heaven in the end, you can say, it was some hard going, but he kept me through it all.
Yes.
We don't get much persecution here. I just saw the other day where another church was burnt down in China. And where they shot people for professing the name of Christ. And in America, most of the people that proclaimed the name of Christ came home to get them to go to church. And in America, we believe we're persecuted when the preacher preaches against our favorite sin. You know what you ought to do? You ought to do what he says in Psalm 71:24. Turn to Psalm 71:24. I'm about through. Psalm 71:24. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Since 1978, I've seen it over and over and over and over. And the ones that attack and the ones that gossip and backbite and those that criticize, they don't last long. They come and they go, Brother Rudy. We've seen it in this church. It's funny how you try to start a church, keep people out of hell, and bless Christians. And people come in and they'll just be so wonderful, and 2 or 3 weeks later, you can't do nothing right. They don't like you singing, they don't like the preaching, they don't like the people, and they start doing that. And you try to be patient with them, and you try to love them, and the more you do, the worse they get. And then finally, they either storm out or you do something to make a man enough to leave. And years later, you can't find them, Brother Billy. They're not in church anywhere. There's a local pastor in town. I'm not going to say who he was. But they said, he said from the pulpit one day, a Baptist pastor, he said, "Don't get mad and leave here. We don't want you to go nowhere else and mad it up and make them upset too. Just stay here." I never would have said that. I said, "If you ain't happy here, go somewhere else. There's church on every corner. Amen. Why you want to throw some lemon in our Kool-Aid, man? I'm telling you, get gone. If you ain't happy, go." I ain't never heard a preacher say that. Well, let me tell you something. If all they're going to do is criticize you and talk about you and back and attack you and me, us and them would be happier if they just move on.
Yes.
And then years later, you'll run into them somewhere and they'll go. I had a boss man did me bad, real bad, when I was a young Christian. And my wife and I were standing in line at a restaurant one day, and he come in. And he made a point to come over there to me and apologize to me for what he did. He said, "I had to do that because I was told to from those up above." I said, "You ain't got to worry about me. I'm not mad at you. I'm not even mad at them." I said, "Because what you meant for my ill, God meant for my good. When I left there, I got the highest paying jobs I'd ever had. And I've been going up ever since. Wish I'd left sooner." Amen. I've had church members walk up to me and say, "Pastor, I'm sorry." I said, "What are you sorry for?" They said, "I'm sorry I talked about you." I said, "Well, I didn't know it. It didn't hurt me. I mean, I forgive you." And to some, they never quit. And no matter where they go, they're never going to be happy. And I don't know if they're saved. If they are, they didn't guard their heart. But I can tell you this, according to Psalm 71:24, I can just keep on going. I can keep on going. You see, my and your faith does not depend on what somebody thinks about you. It depends on Him. And let me tell you something else. My and your testimony does not depend on them. It depends on Him. What does He think of what you're doing? And they don't have to understand us. He does.
Amen.
And I don't have to defend me. He does. Just keep on going. Straight on. Don't stop to clear yourself. You're wasting your time. You hear me?
Yes.
Somebody said, "Well, if your brother offends you," well, you can tell him he offended you, but don't waste your time trying to clear yourself with that brother. If he don't want to get it right the first time, ain't no need to keep on trying. The Bible orders him to forgive you if you've offended him. And hey, if you confess that to him or her and they don't want to forgive you, you go on and live for God and let them wallow in the misery. And I'm going to tell you the truth. One day, a lot of them will come back to you. You'll get apologies. I promise you, you will. Just go straight on. Stop trying to clear yourself. If somebody comes up to you and says, "Did you hear what brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so said about you? They accused you of this," say, "No, I didn't hear it until you shared it. And I don't want to hear it no more. I'm too busy to do that. You just keep that to yourself. I don't care what they say about me. I'm more concerned about what he says about me." And go on. You know what Jesus said to his own parents?
Yeah.
He said, "I must be about my Father's business."
Oh, right.
It ain't none of your business what his business is in my business. Amen. Write that down somewhere. That was good. It ain't none of your business what his business is in my business. It ain't none of your business. Amen? Just go on and mind the Father's business. Do what He told you to do. Ignore them. Go on. You'll be happy. They'll be miserable. And you'll have the victory and they'll be at the loss. And by the way, everybody that listens to them and believes them will be too. You're going to be attacked. You think starting this church and having the newest fundamental church in town wasn't criticized? You think they don't that people won't criticize you when God's blessing you? You think people ain't gonna criticize you? Sure they will. We just read it.
Yes.
But you know what we do here? We don't even listen to it. We just stay about the Father's business.
Amen.
Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, visitation. We'll have I'll never forget. One of the people that criticized me the most in recent years, one day we was having revival. She criticized me and Tony Green and Tony Green's brother. Told all kind of stuff. Tried to take everybody out of church. And guess who showed up when Tony Green was preaching? And guess she is so sweet. You know why? She destroyed that church. Had nowhere to go. Guess what? That same person showed up over here. And I'll never forget, I'm not going to tell you his name. I'll tell you his initials, starts with a B. He said, "Pastor, would there ever be a time to where if somebody wanted to join this church that you would recommend not?" I said, "I know who you saw." He said, "Yeah, I did." Now, I can nail that one. A nay. That's what I said. And I think that's what you said. You'd vote no. But is that being mean? No, that's just saying, be careful.
Amen. Yes.
Watch out. It's coming.
Yes.
Keep a good heart. Stay in the will of God. Stay on your knees. Stay in the book. Don't retaliate. I know a lot of bad things on people that talk about me. Serious. Because see, I was their pastor. I know a lot more on them than they know about me. Don't retaliate. And you keep serving God. And one day at the judgment seat of Christ, we'll see who was real. Don't you get discouraged. I had a preacher call me one day. He had backslid, got out of church, got out of the will of God. He said, he was crying. He said, "What would you do?" I said, "Don't you have some kin folks in California?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I'd take my family and move to California and start over. I just start over." You know what he did? He started over. He's got one of the greatest churches I've ever seen now. You know why? He got away from the critics.
Amen.
And the judgers and the gossipers, and his family got away. Look, don't you give up. There's enough people in here that we got you back.
Amen.
We might get, there's some here getting flesh. They'll slap them in Jesus' name. And then ask the Lord to forgive them, and He will. And He'll probably say, "I was going to do that myself." Oh, preacher, you're not supposed to talk like that. We're supposed to let people run up. No, 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 no. Jesus sat down and made a whip one day and cleaned house of a bunch of crooks. We don't have to tolerate that junk. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't, you will. If you have, you will again be attacked. You'll be criticized. You'll be misjudged. You'll be talked about. You'll be put on the bottom of the totem pole wherever you're at. But take heart. This is only just a little space in your life. The sun's coming up in the morning. It's all working together for your good, and it's going to turn out better, not bitter, if you'll do what I told you. Now, if you're not saved, you know you can do those same things. But it'd be a whole lot easier if you were saved. You'd have somebody to help you, the Lord. Let's stand. Father, thank you. Thank you.